The Department of Homeland Security is apparently on a huge ammo buying spree.
It comes out to like 1.6 billion rounds.
One thing that has unified Democrats and Republicans, everybody in between, is that we all hated the bank bailout.
Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
The time to choose sides is now.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is an emergency transmission. The United States government has been taken over by a shadow government, a criminal element that spies on the American people. It launches false flag terror attacks on its own citizens, and it starts illegal and unjust wars for, well, for resources and imperial control. And they're hell-bent on destroying what's left of our constitutional republic in order to establish a one-world government in its ruins. Those of you watching our broadcast for the first time tonight, well, I'm sure you figured out by now that you're not watching the mainstream news media, because the truth will not be televised, at least not by any of the mainstream television news networks who are owned and controlled by the megabanks and the military-industrial complex. You will, however, routinely get a steady dose of the truth right here on the InfoWars Nightly News. Good evening, everyone. I'm Darren McBreen. It is Wednesday, August 6, 2014. Here's a quick look what's coming up.
Tonight, a massive buildup of Russian troops on the Ukrainian border in the last 48 hours. And is the government hiding suspected Ebola cases from the public?
There have been about a half a dozen patients who have had their blood tested because of concern. Those particular patients, their stories were not made public.
Then Jesse Ventura sets the record straight. All that and more on tonight's InfoWars Nightly News.
Well, it looks like Russia is finally preparing for a large-scale invasion of the Ukraine, as there has recently been a massive buildup on the Ukrainian border where Russia has more than doubled their troop levels. So it definitely looks like they are getting ready to rumble. Yesterday, Vladimir Putin called for an emergency meeting on the United Nations Security Council to resolve the humanitarian crisis in the Ukraine. Yeah, notice how it's always a humanitarian crisis. But the untold story behind the crisis is that this is an energy tug of war that's being fought between Russia and Western powers, and the Ukraine is simply caught up in the middle. Not to mention the fact that the Ukraine is a very important and strategic placemat on the grand chessboard. Now, there is reportedly tens of thousands of people displaced because of the fighting over the last several months. The Russian Foreign Ministry said the UN and the Red Cross have a readiness plan to deploy a humanitarian mission to the Ukraine, which some consider to be a pretext for an invasion by Russian forces. Yeah, you think? I mean, the Russians are battle ready. They have a large force of infantry, armor, artillery, and air defense right there on the Ukrainian border. And we're talking about 17 battalions. That's about 20,000 troops. And to be honest, I don't think the Obama administration is prepared to do anything about it. After heavy sanctions against Russian politicians and businessmen and a direct attack on Russia's economy, Vladimir Putin is about to show the world what a Russian response looks like. So brace yourselves, the Russians are coming, and this could very well be the buildup to the next great war. Now, I want to switch gears real quick and talk about the recent Ebola outbreak, because the CDC still remains silent on the number of potential Ebola victims inside the United States. Now, that's a scary thought. Now, I understand that the CDC might not want to start a panic, or would they? But there is a growing concern that U.S. hospitals are not prepared to deal with a wider outbreak of the virus. You may recall yesterday we reported that CNN's Dr. Sanjay Gupta said that health authorities had tested at least six potential Ebola victims, but their stories were not made public, suggesting that the CDC was keeping a lid on that information. And don't forget that we reported last week that President Barack Obama signed an executive order which allows healthcare authorities to detain Americans who merely show signs of a respiratory illness. Meanwhile, the CDC has also outlined measures for dealing with an outbreak which will allow for the quarantine of well persons, so healthy individuals who do not show symptoms of the disease. Wow. That, my friends, that sounds like forced vaccinations. That sounds like internment camps. And for more on this, we take you now to Leanne McAdoo, who is standing by with a retired sergeant and a bioweapons expert.
Thank you, Darren. Well, today I'm going to be speaking with Christopher Palo. He is a retired sergeant. He spent more than 10 years working as a chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear specialist in the U.S. Army, where he worked extensively researching the Ebola virus. Now, Christopher is going to be speaking with me today specifically about the risks associated with transporting this deadly strain of Ebola into the country. Christopher, well, welcome to the show. Now, the CDC specifically cautioned people against flying to these affected regions, but you believe that it's perfectly safe that the State Department has now brought in these infected Americans to the country. Why?
Because of the level of safety that the CDC actually has. In each one of the in the CDC, there are certain levels of labs. They're called BSLs or biosafety labs. They range from 1 through 4. At level 4 being the highest, basically that's where Ebola and an Ebola patient would go. You know, in each hospital that a Ebola patient would go to, especially if it's run by the CDC, has these parameters, you could say, set up to where it's safe. They're in a completely sealed room where it's actually it's under-pressured. So say for some reason there's a crack in the glass or a hole in the wall, air will actually flow into the room, not letting anything out. And since Ebola is not an airborne agent or a pathogen, rather, there's not a lot of issue with that. I mean, with Ebola, you treat it like you would a cold or anything like that. You just, you know, stay away from bodily fluids or anything like that. They, you know, any test done on an individual who has Ebola, they either do it in the room there or they triple contain the sample in a metal container and then a airtight plastic bag and then essentially what's a safe to transport it to another location. And in this location, there's a lab where it's, again, it's under-pressured and the people who are who are working in the lab are in over-pressured suits, meaning that there's more pressure on the inside of the suit than and the outside air. So air would flow out, again, not letting the contagion in. As they leave the room, they go through what's called a gray area where nothing can live. It's actually an area like sort of a little hallway bombarded by UV light. Anybody who's working with it gets automatically tested for the pathogen and quarantined. So I really don't feel that there is a issue with pulling a taking a person, especially an American doctor, to America to, you know, try to treat him and also use the contagion inside of him to actually help with research on Ebola to create vaccines and better treatments and what have you.
Well, the AP reported that one of these patients was actually walked out of the ambulance and walked right into the hospital. He wasn't inside one of these special containment tents. That's not really level 4 isolation.
Right. I believe I saw that video of him being actually walked from the ambulance into the hospital. If you look, he is in a suit, right? And like I said, it's not airborne. It comes from it's bodily fluids, you know, spit, feces, blood, what have you. And also there is a 2 to 21 day incubation period where it sits there. You don't show any symptoms, you know, so, you know, the guy's not going to be hacking up blood and making the actual the pathogen aerosolized. So, you know, basically covering him up in a suit where none of his bodily fluids can get out and transporting him from point A, from the ambulance to the hospital, as long as there's, you know, it's perfectly safe, as long as there's nobody around him. What they're going to do with that suit afterwards is they're going to burn it, you know, and they're going to put him in an isolated area and quarantine him for research and treatment.
Now, one strain of Ebola, the Ebola Restin, was actually found to be transmitted between monkeys via air, and that was in Restin, Virginia.
Yes, yes. They, what it was because it's considered a simian virus. What happens is when your esophagus actually starts to decay from the virus, you start coughing up blood, and those little tiny blood particles get aerosolized, and they can, you know, fly, you know, 30, 40 feet, whatever, due to, you know, the, from you coughing. And so that way it can be transmitted through the air, but it's not really, like an airborne threat. It's within a certain parameter. And that's why in Reston, it is actually, they're quarantined off. And then after that happened, they tested everybody and they cleared down the room and actually shut, what's called, flooded the room with UV rays after that.
So one of the things we really would need to worry about is if there are any human error. Obviously, we've reported before how the CDC and a lot of these other maximum lab facilities, maximum security facilities have mistakenly put smallpox vials like on a shelf back in a storage room and just forgot about it and things like that. So there's always the potential for something like this to cause an outbreak. But you don't really think that that's...
Yeah, I mean, there is potential. There's human error. Mm-hmm. You know, the one thing about Ebola as opposed to other contagions is Ebola is, there are actually people in who have PhDs in virology that will not work with Ebola because it is so deadly and it is so dangerous. So I feel that the level of fear here actually would help to minimize, not eliminate, you know, because you can almost never eliminate human error, but minimize human error in that. Now, is there a chance it can get out? Yes, it can. You know, I mean, there's a chance for anything, really. But it's minimal, and I personally am not afraid of it or even to go into the facility where the Ebola patient is being housed, if you will.
Now, when we were speaking yesterday, you were saying that the potentiality of Ebola being used as a bioweapon was, you know, just really didn't even make sense. But the Navy Times published an article just recently speaking about how U.S. biowarfare scientists have been interested in Ebola since the 1970s, mainly because Ebola and its fellow viruses have high mortality rates and its stable nature in aerosol make it attractive as a potential biological weapon.
Right. Well, the thing about bioweapons is we as a country have basically signed agreements, and you know, I believe it's part of the Geneva Convention that says that the only reason we cannot create bioweapons, we cannot create chemical weapons. We can, on the other hand, keep a stockpile of certain materials like, you know, Ebola or, you know, Spanish flu or whatever around to do tests on them to figure out how to create deterrent from other countries using bioweapons. Now, the idea of an actual Ebola, the only way to actually create an Ebola bioweapon is to actually take the Ebola virus and mutate it into something you can control. But right now, we don't know hardly anything about Ebola in order to actually create treatments for it, let alone turn it into a bioweapon. The idea of using Ebola as a bioweapon is, in my mind, just it's a terrible idea because you can't control it. You know, you turn Ebola into a bioweapon in a bomb form. You drop it on a country. Next thing you know, the entire country is infected with Ebola because it spreads ridiculously fast. It has a burn. It has an incubation period of 2 to 21 days, meaning you don't show any symptoms from 2 to 21 days. So you're running around, flying around, interacting with people, you know, shaking hands, spreading bodily fluids, all that jazz. In that case, it could probably, in my opinion anyway, it could probably take out the entire world's population in a few months. So in that way, it's a terrible idea. It's not a good idea at all. And I don't think without actually more research and all that, and especially without any, you know, I guess a shotgun vaccination for every single type of strain of Ebola, they wouldn't do it. Now, something they might do would be to create a, you know, bubonic plague, a bubonic plague, the bioweapon, because it's curable, it's controllable, and it targets certain groups of people, you know, basically people readily available medical care.
Mm-hmm.
And that way it would be That way it would be feasible, but not Ebola. You know, to actually make a virus into a bioweapon, especially when we can't cure viruses, we can treat them and we can vaccinate against some of them, but we can't cure them. It's just, it's, in my head, it's just, it's not feasible, really.
So what about the fact that we have U.S. biowarfare researchers in the Ebola zone? Fort Detrick, people there, they just released a paper to the CDC about a month ago admitting that the particular strain that they're working with, that the U.S. government has a patent on, may have been responsible for the particular outbreak that's going on in Sierra Leone. Well, that's frightening.
That is. I personally don't know really much about that particular statement. But you can think of it this way. With bioweapons researchers, they're especially working for the U.S. military in that aspect, they're going to be the top in their field. Mm-hmm. And they're going to know the most about a certain subject. And, in this case, Ebola, BDBV, mm-hmm. So they're the ones who are going to be out there knowing, okay, so this strain does this, and they, by using these, synthesized proteins or whatever, we may be able to put a stop on it. And, by them actually, to comment on the quote itself, if they're the cause of it, I don't know. I honestly couldn't tell you. I know that that would actually be in violation of certain, Geneva Convention codes and rules of war and all that jazz. That's why we went to Iraq, back in, early 2000s was because they were using chemical weapons on, in northern Iraq. We went there to stop that. And, if we're doing that to, Central Africa, Central Southern Africa, then that pretty much just makes us hypocrites. But I don't know anything about that personally. I haven't seen that article or read about it. So I really can't make an informed comment on that, if that makes sense.
Right, absolutely. Well, it just kind of proves that we need to have a deeper investigation into what exactly they're studying there at that lab. I'm sure they'll claim all sorts of, national security issues with finding out what they're doing in there. But that's a huge cause for concern if they're actually admitting that that could potentially have caused that current outbreak. Mm-hmm. But are we seeing here with this, where the media here is really hyping it up. We've got CNN standing outside the hospitals reporting on all of these people that are showing symptoms of Ebola. Meanwhile, like we discussed yesterday, you said having the flu or, mono could give you Ebola-like symptoms.
Right.
I feel like this is kind of what we saw leading up to the swine flu when they really rolled it out and rushed out the vaccines.
Yeah. There are a lot of things. It's worst case scenario, So, say you're in college and you're taking you haven't taken a psychology class, but you're going to just take an abnormal psychology class. All of a sudden you have everything in that class because you start fitting certain criteria. What the doctors will do, when a person's like, I think I got Ebola, right? They're going to quarantine them. They're going to do it. Because it's protocol. And then they're going to test for, certain things like malaria, typhoid fever, shigellosis, cholera, and a whole slew of other things, because they have to rule out these other ones first because, basically Ebola is a death sentence, mm-hmm. And they can actually combat, if you will, maybe not cure, but combat some of these other viruses and other diseases. But again, it's just really, these people are, I'm sick. I have it because I have so many symptoms. I have a headache. I have a backache, that could be any number of things, mm-hmm. It starts out like a lot of other viruses or diseases and then, goes from there. You'll know you have Ebola after about 2 weeks when you start bleeding out. Just saying.
Right. Well, it seems like there are certain, people that are going to profit off of having this potential scare. Obviously, we heard about Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney, really profiting off Tamiflu with the whole swine flu thing. Of course, a lot of people died as a result of the rushing out of that vaccine. We don't really hear about that. They pulled, Tamiflu off the shelves and everything like that. And now they're saying they want to rush out this new Ebola vaccine. Sure. Meanwhile, Ebola isn't even a huge pandemic at the moment. We've got two cases of people we've actually brought in to the country. Nothing that's actually been here.
Exactly. We've had Ebola as the virus itself in the United States, at least since the 80s, has been, like I said, been in four labs, at least four labs in DC and in Atlanta. But you said something earlier that, or yesterday that actually really connects to this. It's the best way to control people is through fear. You know, so you want to sell a product, make these people think they need it. You know, send like all this. And I'm not, cause I personally don't know Donald Rumsfeld or any of them personally. I mean, they could be great people. They just have bad ideas. I don't know. But you know, that's what I see. I see causing a panic and then causing a need for something and then creating profits out of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that to me, that's what it is. It's just, they're creating this panic. You bring a guy over, all of a sudden, oh, opportunity for money. You know, in my opinion, and you know, this is just me. In my opinion, there is no reason to be afraid because the CDC has things under control. You know, yes, there is a potential for human error, but I believe given the circumstances of this virus and the fact that there's really only two people that we know of for a fact that have it in the United States, and they're both under quarantine by the CDC, who works directly with the World Health Organization, who are the two greatest, you know, companies or organizations rather on the planet for, you know, biological, you know, and biological and contagion, you know, elements of science, if you will. They're in great hands, you know, and again, with, barring any kind of human error, it's perfectly safe
to bring these people into the country.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so do you have any advice for people, anything that they can particularly do if they are just very fearful, you know, short of going, rushing out, getting this experimental vaccine that they're talking about pushing out in September? What are some other things people can be aware of, take precautions, things like that?
Inform yourself, really. The best thing you could do is become knowledgeable. You know, go to the CDC websites, go to the World Health Organization websites, pick up a book, you know, actually learn about this thing, learn about what it does, how it does. And then once you see that, you know, actually figure out, okay, now how are they controlling it? You know, again, the CDC websites have all this information. The World Health Organization have all this information, and they're actually hotlines, you know, to the World Health or Health Organization and the CDC to ask these things, to inquire about it. You know, and just treat it like the cold. If someone's coughing, get away from there. You know, if someone just, you know, if someone has what you feel to be a symptom of Ebola, you know, obviously make them wear a mask and then get them to the doctor to get them checked out. That's best you can do. There is no magical cure. Like I read someplace that it said, if I eat three onions a day, I won't get, you know, Ebola. No, that's a terrible idea. It might help your ulcers, but no, you know. There is no, you know, magical pill or magical cure or magical anything for this. You just have to be informed and cautious, you know, don't be afraid of it, you know, because you're afraid of it, then it's going to cause you to do, erratic things and things that you wouldn't normally do, which may actually end up in a self-fulfilling prophecy, but just be knowledgeable about it, really.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I mean, I'm still a little, you know, even though I want to put all my trust into the CDC and the World Health Organization, we know they get kind of their bread and butter from vaccines and big pharma. So it's a little, you know, kind of those things. But I am kind of really wanting people to be cautious about getting caught up in all the fear surrounding this, because it's definitely a form of control.
Yeah, I agree. And like I said, the best thing you could do is just inform yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, learn about it, study it, know it. So.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time.
I thank you.
Well, Christopher Palo has more than 10 years of extensive research into this disease. He doesn't believe that Ebola is something we need to be really concerned with at the moment. You know, presently as today, there are just a little over 900 cases of people who've actually died from this current outbreak of Ebola. No cases so far here in the U.S., save for those two Americans who've been brought in by the State Department, who says it's perfectly fine, perfectly safe that they are being brought in. So the question is, Why are the media really ramping this up as a potential national health scare, something we really need to be concerned about? Why are they pushing out an experimental Ebola vaccine in September? Why does Obama all of a sudden grant himself new executive authority to detain and quarantine people who are showing Ebola-like symptoms? He already had the authority to quarantine and detain people showing symptoms of kind of flu-like symptoms, but now he specifically granted himself the authority with Ebola. Of course, then we have the CDC changing their website, updating it really to give the American people tips on how they can protect themselves and prevent Ebola, where that wasn't the case just a few days ago. It wasn't even there. So why is this something that's really being brought about into the collective consciousness now of something that we need to be concerned about? There are no cases of Ebola in the United States that we're aware of unless, you know, human error causes it to be so after bringing it here into this country. Who stands to profit from a potential pandemic? Is it, you know, the same with the swine flu, where people who are creating this vaccine are going to be making all of this money? Speaking of vaccines, that experimental vaccine that the two American patients have been treated with, it seems to be helping them. In fact, that doctor who created that was actually one that was caught on video several years ago joking about wiping out the population of, you know, a large portion of the population with a GMO vaccine. He was kind of joking about that. So, you know, that could just be obviously a coincidence here, but the fact that Ebola is now being touted as something that could be wiping out large portions of the population, something that we really need to be concerned with, like Christopher Palo said, turning something like Ebola into a bioweapon would be completely mental. You can't control it, and it would wipe out 90% of the population if it was allowed to spread like wildfire. And just refer back to the Georgia Guidestones, and something like Ebola wiping out the population is directly in line with the globalist plan to clean up the planet. So I don't really know where to go with this. Presently, I would agree with Christopher. Educate yourself. Don't buy into the fear at this moment. Don't go lining up to get those experimental vaccines. But again, we're just going to have to do a little bit more research and find out what the end game is with this current pandemic. Now, coming up right after this, we are going to be giving you an update on Jesse Ventura.
This is Alex Jones for InfoWarsLife.com. The latest in preparedness is now here, an electrically stabilized colloidal silver solution that can be added to both your home cabinet and preparedness pack alike. Concentrated to 30 parts per million in what has been dubbed the survival silver solution, and it's entirely free of toxic artificial additives that are loaded into many products. Purchase your bottle of InfoWarsLife.com Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver today and find other amazing supplements at InfoWarsLife.com.
City of Austin tap water versus filtered City of Austin tap water.
I can, like, taste dirt in it.
God knows what's in this.
This has an aftertaste. Tastes like Austin water?
Yeah, it does. Ugh.
These people just sampled City of Austin tap water straight from the faucet. Next, we had them try a sample of tap water filtered through the ProPure G2.0 filtration system.
High quality H2O.
That one is better.
Tastes like nothing.
Yep, I know what good water tastes like. It's good water.
Most tap water contains added substances like fluoride, chlorine, Monsanto's deadly pesticide, glyphosate, and many others. Studies prove that these substances are linked to an assortment of major health issues, including tooth decay, lowered IQ, and even cancer.
It tastes like you're drinking out of a lake when you're drinking tap water.
Yeah, that's processed flavor to it.
The ProPure G2.0 filtration system removes these deadly substances and many more, leaving only fresh-tasting, deliciously clean water.
Okay, this is very tasty.
It's good water.
Refreshing.
It's good.
Go to InfoWarsStore.com today. Use promo code WATER and save 10% off your ProPure purchase. Again, that's InfoWarsStore.com or call 1-888-253-3139.
Tonight, Jesse Ventura sets the record straight on the Chris Kyle lawsuit. This following an especially vindictive response by the media for Ventura's attempt to clear his name and save his reputation.
So the jury yesterday found defamation of character, ordered Kyle's estate to pay Ventura $1.8 million. Keep in mind, Mr. Kyle is dead.
We have multiple sound bites, multiple quotes from Jesse Ventura, and comments against our own military and this nation.
But it seems like the height of cruelty to punish the guy's wife, and that is what Jesse Ventura has done.
I mean, everyone's jaw is dropped today.
Right. Now, we all know Chris Kyle was a legendary Navy SEAL sniper who defamed Jesse Ventura in 2012. This was shortly after he released his book, and he appeared on national television claiming that he actually punched Jesse Ventura in the face and knocked him out. This was in response to Jesse Ventura's allegedly walking around and bad-mouthing the Navy SEALs, not to mention bad-mouthing then-President Bush and bad-mouthing America. Needless to say, Fox News and the rest of the establishment media had a field day with this story, but in typical mainstream fashion, they failed to look into all the circumstances surrounding the case, and they rushed to judgment. Either that, or this was an orchestrated character assassination against Ventura, who is known for his outspoken views and criticism of our corrupt government.
So he was bad-mouthing the war, right?
Bad-mouthing the war, bad-mouthing Bush, bad-mouthing America.
This gentleman accused me of treason. And in the military, I being ex-military, in the military, treason is a very serious crime. In the military, it carries the death sentence. And when you're accused of treason, you're going to fight it, which is what I did. Let's get a few facts straight here. I filed this lawsuit immediately when the book appeared in January of 2012. I had just gone to Mexico. I was off the grid. I had only communication was through the internet. And I learn of this book that comes out where he allegedly punched me out for me committing treason. So I immediately contacted my attorneys. I said, we have to stop this. And so we filed the lawsuit shortly in the latter part of January 2012 when Chris Kyle was still very much alive. He would not do one thing to restore my reputation, and he would not admit that he made the story up. The only thing they would offer me was money. So if I wanted strictly money, I could have settled right there. I could have settled right there for just money. But I wanted and sought the truth. That's why it had to go to court. The lawsuit proceeded forward, and unfortunately, Mr. Kyle was killed. He met an untimely death and was murdered. Now, one of the big criticisms people tell me is I should have dropped the lawsuit right there. That wouldn't have cleared my name. And even when we continued from there on, no matter what evidence was going on, they refused to move one inch on restoring my reputation. They said it was off the table. At the time this alleged incident took place, I was 6'4", 255, 260 pounds, I still had 19.5-inch arms, and I was a pretty big man. And to believe that Chris Kyle could strike me in the face and not leave a mark, yet Chris Kyle said they saw me on television with black eyes, yet they could not produce the television that showed me with a black eye. He said when he hit me, there were four people standing right next to me when I went down, yet they produced none of those people. They had no witness during this trial who said, with any credibility, who said they saw me get hit. The jury saw the evidence, and the jury concurred and believed the evidence. Yet you've got political pundits out there saying the jury's all wrong. The jury's full of crap. Yet these political pundits weren't in the trial. They know nothing about it. They don't know one fact about what was presented as evidence.
Jesse Ventura should be thankful for the men and women in uniform who protect our freedoms, our capitalism, and who protect his ability to make a living with so little actual talent. For the week, Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, good for you, because he's taken food out of the mouths of the Chris Kyle's children.
Family.
Bernie.
Yeah.
Is there any way to side with Jesse on this?
No way. No, he is a big loser. I'm ashamed to be bald right now. He's a despicable, bullheaded punk.
When you sue a widow
and you get money out of her. That's the best way to restore your reputation.
See, I just had to prove to everyone I'm not as bad of a guy as everyone says I am.
The jury saw the evidence, and the jury moved forward and ruled on the evidence, and the jury found that I had been defamed, and they had found there had been unjust enrichment because of that defamation, and they are the ones that awarded me the $1.8 million. I didn't control the money. I didn't control what I won. I didn't even control the charges. There were three charges that the federal judge, Kyle, no relation, allowed to continue forward on the bench. It was his professional judge's opinion. The jury got it, and the jury made the award. I didn't. During this process and after Chris Kyle died, a petition was brought by former members of the UDT Seal community to throw me out of the UDT Seal Association for continuing to attempt to clear my name with this lawsuit. It broke my heart because there were people on that petition that I served with, and I was never given the benefit of the doubt. The truth was never even brought up. The truth wasn't even considered in this petition. No one even considered, what if Jesse Ventura has the truth and Chris Kyle is lying, which is the truth? Chris Kyle did lie and Jesse Ventura did have the truth. But apparently to these people, the truth didn't matter. You know, I have an entire generation of young SEALs now who hate me, and I didn't do anything. I am a victim here. As much as many of you maybe don't want to believe that, it is the truth. I am a victim. I did nothing. And yet I had to go, me and my family had to go through 2.5 years of hell also in facing the media and facing the insults and everything else that happens to you. But nobody thinks about my family or me. I'm moving forward. This is in the past now. I will continue to move forward. I will continue to be Jesse Ventura, governor, former governor of Minnesota, and I will continue to be a vigilant citizen and hold my government's feet to the fire. This isn't going to change a thing.
That's right. The jury saw the evidence and they ruled in favor of Jesse Ventura. Now, y'all need to wake up and understand just how dangerous this is when the mainstream press attacks you and they uniformly go after you. I mean, this is called character assassination, because Ventura has the audacity to speak his mind and talk about the mega corruption in our government. That makes him dangerous. And some of you are so blinded by false patriotism that you never even bothered to look up the facts. You heard the chorus of talking media heads dogpile on Ventura and you joined the herd. You know, the father of propaganda, Edward Bernays, well, he discovered that we humans have what he referred to as a herd mentality. By instinct, we follow a herd. And of course, the establishment knows this, and they use the techniques and principles of crowd psychology to control and manipulate the masses. It's crowd control through propaganda, and it's highly effective. And they go around basically regurgitating what they hear on the mainstream news. And when it comes to the Ventura Chris Kyle lawsuit, think about it. A typical jury in the good old USA, you would think that they would tend to lean favorably towards a fallen war hero and his widow. Yet the jury sided with Jesse Ventura, and that speaks volumes. All right, and that was recorded earlier today in one of our mini studios here in Austin, Texas, thanks to viewer supporters like you who have supported the InfoWars all of these years. And if you are not yet a PrisonPlanet.tv subscriber, why not? For just pennies a day, you too can help fight the InfoWar. Become a PrisonPlanet.tv subscriber where you have access to all of the InfoWars nightly news, plus all of our documentaries and our special reports, and you can share your subscription with up to 11 people. So spread the word of liberty and join the resistance, PrisonPlanet.tv. All right, folks, and coming up next, Alex Jones once again sits down and talks with the one, the only, the Obama phone lady. And guess what? She's got a brand new phone. She's also got a brand new outlook on life. Obama phone lady, next, the InfoWars Nightly News.
The facts are in. The studies are legion. Sodium fluoride and other toxic members of the fluoride family are devastating the health and cognitive ability of the American people. I am extremely excited to announce the exclusive InfoWars Life Fluoride Shield formulation, fusing six of the best documented ingredients from around the world to help the body remove not just toxic fluoride residues from the body, but a whole host of toxic substances. Secure your fluoride shield at InfoWarsLife.com today.
Hi, I'm Dr. Edward Groot. Today I'd like to talk about the war on women. You've experienced and heard about the benefits of Supermale Vitality. Now, the new formula has arrived. Introducing the new Super Female Vitality. I have specifically designed this formula to help the body naturally regulate itself without the use of artificial hormones. Key ingredients chosen from the highest quality sources. Each of these ingredients works synergistically with the female body in order to maximize overall vitality. You've heard the reviews and the feedback on how the original Super Male Vitality has revitalized relationships. Now, both the man and the woman can have the revitalization in their own bodies with Super Male Vitality and Super Female Vitality. Secure your Super Female Vitality today from our limited stock at InfoWarsLife.com.
I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2. Take advantage of this unprecedented 30% off Super Detox Special at InfoWarsLife.com.
And finally, tonight on InfoWars Nightly News, she spent the last 5 days with us down here in Austin, Texas, visiting us from Cleveland, Ohio. She's Michelle Dougherty, a.k.a. the Obama phone lady. And she's here with us as we tried to get her idea on what the American dream really stands for. And, Michelle, what is the American dream?
The American dream is to push away from the government. Get out and get you I got a bank account. I'm on the right track in case I get my checks. I don't have to pay, you know, those crooked people $6 or $7 or $10, $20 to cash my check.
Michelle, there's been a saying out there for a long time, and we call them cliches because they're so true.
Right.
The more things change, the more they stay the same. There's nothing new under the sun. Power corrupts absolutely. You don't want to go out and catch fish for somebody. You want to teach a man or a woman how to fish.
Right.
And there's a lot you could teach me, a lot I could teach you, but the system, the political system that wants people domesticated under their control, they want to give you fish to run your life, not teach you how to go out and catch the fish yourselves.
Right. You're absolutely right, because, you know, the way I was taught to go out and catch the fish myself, you know, I got a little grips on it now. I don't have to be waiting on something to come that might come or not come, you know, and on the government, you know, they cut everything. So you don't know if it's going to come or it's not going to come. So it's best to be independent with your own job, with things to go, to get a bank account, to withdraw money when you need it, you know, not just waiting on the once of the month. Or like, you know, what I was going through was a battle was when I get ready to get the little check, I got to run around to cash it. You know what I'm saying? Pay these people $12 or $13 to take out my $150. Just crazy stuff that the system have caught me up in so much of that, you know? Well, I did not know. They didn't teach you them kind of things. You know, you had to go to the Walmart or the Goodwill to buy, to put on. Now, you know, when you got a nice outfit on, you can talk clear, you can look better. You know what I'm saying? That's the feeling I got. You know, I don't have to depend on government or waiting on to get a check to go for interview that's next month.
What we wanted to do was just to show the viewers out there and people that are unaware who may have been better off where they were born or how they were brought up with their opportunities to understand that the poorest working Americans are being preyed on by these payday loans and these places that
right.
take huge percentages of your check just to cash them. When that check they're cashing is guaranteed and it's all computerized
and they know the money's good, to go out and show people.
That's a scam. They pimping us. They pimp you like that.
Exactly. Show people how easy it is to get a bank account, how easy it is to go out and get some decent clothes inexpensively, how easy it is to try to, you know, go out and basically start over from square one to try to get out of the system. Because the goal is get out of the system. The establishment wants us institutionalized so that we're under their control.
Went from my Obama phone to a new Galaxy. Well, Obama, thanks for letting me use this phone for them couple years. I'll stick a fork in it. It's a done deal.
You've been busy the last few days. I've been in there doing the radio show. I know some of my reporters and writers, like Anthony Gucciardi, you know, have kind of taken you around town to try to get you out of the clutches of the system. Were they successful? How'd it go?
Oh, it was beautiful. I was able to go swimming.
And tell me about your trip to Barton Springs.
Oh, I loved it. It was a really experience for a person have never been out to something like that.
Wow.
I've never seen a big pond like that. And it only costs $3 and $4, and I could have stayed all day.
You'd be a great sales lady. I heard folks love the Obama phone lady.
Oh, yeah. I'll sell your phone. No more Obama phone. You can get this one for a little small price.
Exactly. It works a lot better, huh?
Lot better.
Doesn't go to the Mexican billionaire Carlos Slim.
I'm here to turn in this old Obama phone for a new one. After all this time, I'm upgrading. No more Obama phone. In my eyes, it's like, you know, the government have control of you when you're, you know, you put your name and you stay at the welfare building 4, 5, 6 hours a day, once a month, or whenever they tell you to come. My goal was to get off all of that stuff. You know, I got me a bank account now. I'm going to further my goal and getting a better job now. You know, it winged me off. It let me see that I don't have to depend on the government for the check. It's not going to make it. You know, if I get it, if I don't, I don't need it anymore. You know, I haven't been getting it in 36 months. And you said you were going to give us back those checks if you got a kid under 18, and it haven't did it. So, I mean, you know, it was real rough, but now I, you know, I see the real world where I can get out and get a better job. It's like you labeled, you know, my name is Michelle. I get such amount of money. I get such amount of food stamps. It's like he pimped us, because, you know, now that he said he was going to do things and he didn't do things, you know, what you going to do? Wait on him to make it go through where you're going to get the money, or you're going to get a check if you got kids under 18? You can't rely on that. You have to a little bit go out and get it yourself, you know. You have to give up something to get something. So I gave up a few things that I used to do. I don't do anymore, and this is what God blessed me. This is what I did on my own to get it.
My goal in talking to you over the last 2 years or so, Michelle, was to try to get you to just at least see things from my angle a little bit about how prosperous people were comparatively, whether they be poor whites or blacks, before the big welfare society came in that sold itself as a panacea that was going to save everybody and create a utopia, but it's really done the opposite. It's created dependency. It's created rot in this country. It's created groups of people that would politically go along with anything because they saw their fate not governed by themselves, but by the state.
Right.
And, I mean, that sounds like 1984 to me.
Well, you know, it's been going on for a while because, you know, I have a son that's 25 and 23, and, you know, now with the younger kids, it's been really a rough time with the little kids. You know, my little kids that I have now have been back in the day, and, you know, I'm not saying it was Clinton or Obama, but, you know, when you work for a man and he say what he's gonna do, you respect him supposed to do what you say you're gonna do in a couple years, 4 years, 5 years, whatever it is. You know, and most of the black low minority are people that help you get in to be a president. You know, we still hanging on like you pimped us and didn't do anything. We're waiting. But the rich folks, unquote, unquote, they're just smooth selling with whatever you do. So don't get caught up in that.
Well, Obama gave giant tax breaks to thousands of companies who promoted Obamacare but wanted to be exempt from it. So if a McDonald's doesn't have to give health care to their employees, what does that do to the other hamburger place that can't afford to do it?
No one gets it, does it?
It puts them out of business.
Right.
Or if Warren Buffett's the biggest recipient of the banker bailout money, why would he be lobbying for higher taxes then? Because he gets the tax money.
Right. He gets some percentage out of it or something.
Basically.
Yeah.
The ultra rich are against the new money and the recent.
But they already said, you know, just like some millionaires or people with money, for instance, that's living, they're set. They really, a lot of rich people to me that wasn't even on Obama. You know, I really believe that when Obama won by his color and a person and his background, a lot of black, low, minority, poor people got him in there. You know, cause we thought he was gonna do more or do better than where we, way we were living. You know, and I wondered, you know, why you haven't seen none of this or why you didn't do nothing to try to help some of these people, save us. You know, not save us, but you know, you gotta be like me. You gotta get out, get independent. You know, dress up and fight. It's like a war out here in life. You know, when you go for an interview, you got 20 people at the same interview. Which gonna catch your eye? You know what I'm saying?
Take Martin Luther King, and we'll play a clip of him in one of his famous speeches talking about judge people on the character of their deeds, not on the color of their skin.
I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
But right. It seems like under Obama, we've seen that go full circle, where now it's all about he's black, so black folks vote for him, and then Hispanics are supposed to only vote for people that are Hispanic, and then whites are supposed to only vote for people that are whites. I would vote for anybody that wanted to promote liberty, stop the NSA spying, restore the Second Amendment, restore sovereignty. I really care about what people believe and what they stand for. That's what I'm looking for. It's like a musician. If a musician is white and plays the drums great, I love them. If they're black and play the drums great, I love them. I don't care what color they are. If they play the guitar good, or they sing good like Marvin Gaye.
Right.
Or they sing good.
Like Teddy Pendergrass.
Absolutely. Or George Jones or anybody or Waylon Jennings. I mean, it's all about resonating with that individual and what they stand for.
Right. You haven't did too much for me.
A lot of people during the first campaign in 2008 would say, I'm not going to pay for gas. I'm going to have to pay for a house.
All that stuff went up.
You're going to give it all to me. And he wouldn't say no, no, no. He would go along with that.
But he didn't.
But how does he give somebody a house or a car without taking it from somebody else, Michelle?
Mm.
I mean, George Soros did get most of his money through fraud and scams.
Right.
And Nazi collaborating to begin with. But I wouldn't even want to take all his money and redistribute it because it would set the precedent to take good people's money and redistribute it. It's so dangerous.
Right.
And
Gotta watch it.
I've had friends and family who had their little house, nothing fancy, taken by the IRS claiming they hadn't paid everything to then redistribute it. And not to redistribute it to actually teach somebody how to fish, but to give somebody fish so that you would vote for them. They're using our system of voting against us. Michelle, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, they all had a saying back in 1776.
Mm-hmm.
Pure democracy is two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner. So there's two wolves and a sheep. Who's going to be for dinner?
Sheep.
Exactly. The two wolves are going to vote to eat the sheep. Now, the elite don't have a lot of people. So they play class warfare off with the poor people against the middle class. So you get the poor people with the ultra rich taking down the middle class that actually keeps the economy going and that hires the poor people and that buys the things and is a ladder up for the poor people. Historically, it's a fact. And historically, elites want to shut down middle classes because that's their enemy. Once they've got a giant poor mass, there's no ladder up. They control everybody. That's why you've got all the big billionaires, almost all of them, but a few, giving money for socialism, giving money for big government, not to make you free and empower you, but to just give you enough to just shut up
and get out the way.
Get out of the way.
Right. That's exactly what they do.
And see, I don't want that, Michelle.
Me neither.
I don't want to live in a country where 51% are bought off by the government and elite groups to enslave the other 49. We're in a limited democracy, a republic. Well, sure, the majority votes for who we want in office, but they can't spy on us illegally. They can't take our guns. They can't take our kids without due process. They can't enslave us. They can't get rid of our sovereignty. So that's what a republic is. A republic is a limited democracy where everybody's right is protected. And we never truly fulfilled the ideas of the republic because you'd have 95% voting to enslave the 5% that were black.
Right.
Was that right?
No.
Was it right to have 95% voting to enslave the other group?
No, that was not right.
Well, then today we have a more modern form of it where 51% vote to take the money of somebody else. But see, the big guys are never going to get caught like that. They're offshore tax exempt, UN diplomatic immunity. They're not paying zero in most cases. Max 3%. Guess how much I pay?
Probably high tax.
40% federal. Not counting all the dozens of other tax, I pay close to 70%. 68%, my accountant says, in taxes. Imagine if I had more of that money. I wouldn't just have a bigger house, nicer things, more crew, and fund the economy. I would have more people working here. I would have more reporters. I would have more money. But it's got to go to the government, and then they decide where to spend it.
Right.
Not the viewers. See, in a free open society, people vote with their dollars of what the food they want, of the clothes they want, of the media they like or think is informative. And so you get real diversity in ideas. That's a true renaissance. Mm-hmm. But when government controls it, it only goes to select groups like Carlos Slim for the Obama phones or to the big insurance companies that wrote Obamacare to raise payroll taxes on poor people. I mean, what is your view? How do you see Obama going down in history? Because it's, for me, it's not just about bashing Obama because it's fun to do. I called for Bush's impeachment for the Iraq war and a lot more. It's about realizing he's the corporate front man. He's the pitch man.
Right. He's able
for a fraud to con a bunch of people. Could John McCain or Mitt Romney have gotten this many cons through against minority groups as Obama got?
No. I don't think so. I don't think Romney would have got that many.
I agree with you.
So now he was out for the rich.
So do you see the genius of Obama?
Yeah, no. I don't see no genius of Obama.
Well, that's why Wall Street gave him more money than Romney.
Right, because he won, right?
Well, because they knew he could game people more.
Right.
And he could get their agenda through.
Right.
You think the elite really care one way or the other what color the president is?
No.
These people are bringing down countries. These people are shipping the narcotics in. These people are laundering the money. These people rule the planet because they're scam artists. And the minute we wake up to that larger scam, Michelle, it's game over.
It's over. So now it's over for Obama, right?
Well, he'll leave, they'll bring in another puppet, and then they'll rehabilitate him.
Oh, that's what it do. It go on and on and on. But when are they going to stop that?
I'm sure you went to a magic show when you were a kid.
Yeah.
And you were 5, 6 years old. You really thought he was pulling the rabbit out, didn't you?
Right, right.
I did. But what about later when somebody told you, no, there's really a trap door in the hat.
And it go up under.
And there's a rabbit.
That was the same way you told me, too.
Once we stop debating whether the rabbit's racist or whether the magician's racist or whether the magician's having sex with his assistant, that's all the big fake smoke and mirrors. Once we realize it's all a fraud, now we understand the trick.
All right.
And my job is to get you and others to see the trick.
I see it.
It's fun to laugh at ourselves, get up, dust off.
And keep it moving. At least you know the right.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And that's what it comes down to. And none of us have got it all. We're all learning more and more as it goes.
It's true.
But I would like nothing more than to see all the people out there in America come together and realize the corporate welfare is what's really going on. And that's why the corporate welfare people want the general public on welfare, because then if you're getting a crumb, they can get the whole buffet.
Right.
See, they're getting the whole buffet, and we're saying, hey, middle class is saying, you don't need that buffet. We should have to pay for it. And they go, oh, yeah? We're going to give some scraps to these people.
Right.
You're going to vote for us to get the buffet, right?
That's how it goes.
So you guys get a crumb. Veterans get a crumb. But meanwhile, the big banks run the whole show.
Run it all. We didn't get nothing. Even with the medical care, that's what I wanted to know. Some people got it and some people didn't. You know, like you said, all the people without medical, he's going to make sure they got medical. I know some people today that still don't have it. You know? But I bet them big shots and all them people around, like you say, the big nursing homes, the stores, the big Macy's and all, I bet they all got what they got for their workers.
Well, here's how it works. Just like you've never been able to really get a bank account, we were finally able to help you do that by showing you how to jump through a few hoops.
Yes.
And then they used to make you run around town to all these pay loan
places. They told
me
I was on check pace. But the lady said, check pace, we're gonna cross that out. She told me.
So see, those are the real forms of economic discrimination.
You went all the way around to get me a bank account. To open a bank account.
And so we jumped through the hoops, we got you the bank account. Now that's the beginning of building your credit, the beginning of getting off the economic plantation.
Economic plantation.
And that's really what it's all about, is gaming black, white, they don't, Hispanic,
anybody.
They don't care. And it's the same way with the corporate welfare. You can give on average a couple $1,000 to a House or Senate member, and you can get hundreds of thousands back in government contracts, loans, loan guarantees, bailouts.
Mm-hmm.
You give $1 million, you might get $1 billion back.
Right.
So see,
the more
that's,
you put in, the more you get back.
That's the issue. And so we become a mafia-based economy.
That's bad. That's bad business, man. They got to do something about that. They frame you to get you somewhere, you know, and then just let you lay out there like that.
Did you know Obama's supporters are some of the biggest slumlords in America?
I believe you. Just like I go to church, some of the people at church, they're on property, and people tell me they're the biggest slumlords there is. I really believe that. Because I believe the people that got everything, what they care about us down here that's suffering or don't have anything. You know, back in the day, you help me, I help you. Now, if you stick a fork in it, I'll stick one right after you, you know, whatever it is, you know.
That's right. We're becoming a very barbarous society, and elites that stop caring about the general public and who go to a purely corrupt system always have planted the seeds of their own destruction. Right. And we're not going to have to wait for these seeds to grow. They've already grown.
They too, and they out of hand.
Into a thicket of corruption.
Right.
And judgment day is coming.
You know what it is. You know what you got facing. You know what you didn't do, what you said you was going to do. Now you're there. What can you do?
Well, what they're doing is bringing in a whole nother group of people they can con one more time.
Right.
All the poor illegals.
They ain't going to give me no more.
Who see all the TV shows and think everybody's got yachts and Mercedes. They're trying to suck them in here to be the new political dependent class. That's why it's so important for people to have a paradigm shift and hold the Republicans' feet to the fire as well with all their corporate welfare and the fact that they helped write Obamacare. Mm-hmm. We need to purge the entire ruling political class, not just the Democrats.
Right, especially when not just the Democrats did it, the Republican did too, right?
They're all at the top working together.
All in it together. You're right.
Michelle, anything else you want to add to Nominally News?
I really enjoy being on Infowars.com. It really gave me a good ideal of life on life terms, you know, and taking it, not depending on government things, like getting out, getting something for yourself. You know, that's what I really, Infowars.com showed me what to do.
Well, that's awesome. It's been a pleasure having you here. You're a real sweetheart.
No more Obama phone. No more Obama phone. I have a GXX. Here I am again, Obama phone lady. What we need is people to teach us how to fish and not to give us fish. Teach us how to fish. And you're going to do more because you're going to be independent on your own self, not the president. Plus, catching your own fish and running your own life is very fun. Now I'll see you soon, Obama phone lady.
Well, that's what it's all about here at Infowars.com, the nightly news. I want to say great job to the crew and Darren McBreen that hosted most of the news tonight, and to Obama phone lady and everybody else out there that's trying to be more free and independent. Alex Jones signing off for Infowars.com.
Obama phone lady, goodbye, everybody. All right,
awesome,
bye-bye.
Michelle.
You've experienced and heard about the benefits of Supermale Vitality. Now, the new formula has arrived. Introducing the new Super Female Vitality. I have specifically designed this formula to help the body naturally regulate itself without the use of artificial hormones. Key ingredients chosen from the highest quality sources. Secure your Super Female Vitality today from our limited stock at InfowarsLife.com.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.